From the City of Angels off the Pacific Ocean, good morning, good evening, wherever you may be across the nation, around the world. I'm George Norrie, and welcome to the world's most listened to late night talk show, Coast to Coast AM. Next hour, it's called the Constellation Cygnus, the Swan. You might know it as the Northern Cross. Why were there ancient beliefs from our ancestors that it had something to do with life? Well, here's some of the stories of the day in Kansas City. Another bizarre case, a former Target employee who was turned down for a private security license and planned to cause havoc, was identified as the man who killed two people in a crowded mall parking lot before he was shot by police. A 51-year-old man, he had been stopped by police while driving the car of his next-door neighbor, who police had found dead in her home hours later. He's linked to that. He applied for a private security permit from the police department, but was turned down because he had two outstanding city warrants. Police officer pulled him over. He shot the officer in the arm, then drove to the shopping center where he fatally shot two people in the parking lot before he was killed by police. Man, the governor of Virginia closed the loophole in state law that allowed the Virginia Tech gunman to buy weapons despite a court ruling that he was a threat and needed psychiatric counseling. Governor Timothy M. McCain issued an executive order requiring that a database of people banned from buying guns include the name of anyone who was found to be dangerous in order to get involuntary mental health treatment. A suicide bomber struck a crowd of funeral mourners in Baghdad, taking more than 30 lives at the end of one of the deadliest months of the war so far for U.S. forces. At least 104 American troops were reported killed in April. In Denmark, a 21-year-old employee at the Legoland amusement park was killed in a roller coaster accident. She had crawled onto the tracks to pick up a wallet dropped by one of the passengers when the roller coaster hit her. In Portsmouth, Virginia, Tommy Newsom, the former backup band leader on The Tonight Show, whose Mr. Excitement nickname was a running joke for Johnny Carson, has died, 78 years old. He died of cancer. And a friend of mine called me a couple days ago and said that he had heard that his friend, Ed McMahon, had broken his neck. He's healing. He's okay, but I had not heard that anyplace else. Arctic ice is melting faster than computer models of climate that they calculate, according to a group of U.S. researchers. Since 1979, the Arctic has been losing summer ice at about 9% per decade. The models produced on computers showed that the melting rate was less than half that figure. So it's happening faster and faster and faster. In a moment, we're going to be talking with Pam Anderson and Dan Matthews. His book, Committed, it's about PETA and animal rights. That's next on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast. I'm George Norrie. Two special guests for you this hour.
Oh, dear. Thank God this is radio because the lighting is awful.
This is radio. Now,
the voice you hear right now is that of Pamela Anderson.
Hello.
You know her, actress, model, producer, yeah, television personality. Hello, Pamela. How are
reader.
You? And reader. What are you doing?
Professional reader.
And Dan Matthews, of course, the vice president of PETA, known for heading PETA's most controversial and attention-getting campaigns.
Howdy, everybody.
Danny, you put a lot of work in this book, Committed, huh?
Yeah, I've been working on it a long time. It covers some of the exploits that Pamela and I have gotten into all over the world on behalf of animals.
Yes.
And it's been
really great.
Had
a good time doing it.
People magazine just picked it as their buzz book of the week, so we're very excited. And it, I think it shows how you can devote your life to a cause and have a good time doing it. You know, a lot of people get, you know, we live in a country where there's such a self of entitlement. People don't like to be educated and told what to do about things. But, you know, when people find out about what happens to animals, they get a little bit upset. And PETA's a controversial organization, and we've always existed to put these issues on the map, and fortunately
with a sense of humor, you gotta slip
with
it in
a sense
there
of humor,
so people can digest it, you know,
we're able to get people like Pamela to wear a bikini made of lettuce for an ad that says turn over a new leaf and try vegetarian. It's we try to do things that will get people talking.
You guys are crazy.
Well, Pamela, you've been interested in this since you were a little girl, haven't you?
Yeah, I used to give all my allowance and everything to animal charities growing up, and I was always the one that people dropped off their stray dogs to, or, you know, a bird with a broken wing or something like that. So I was just kind of the animal person on the block.
I went on a date once with a girl, and I asked her if she liked animals, and she said, no, I don't.
Goodbye.
And that was the end of the date. You know, I've always believed if you can't take care of an animal, that's fine. But anyone who doesn't like an animal, there's something wrong with them.
Honey, if you're kind to animals, you're kind to people.
Yeah, it's all about basic respect, sure.
And that was the end of my date, and that was it. And now whenever I go on dates, it's people who like animals.
That's great. That's what Simon Cowell even said that about American Idol contestants. If they really wanted to win, they had to be animal lovers. He helps out PETA a lot, too. And you can check out all information about all these things at PETA.org if you like.
Yeah.
One of our,
you're rated right now 5900th on Amazon.com. I guarantee you by the end of this program tonight you'll be up in the
we'll
top.
We'll be let's see with Pamela. It'll be number 69 tonight.
Yeah, I bought 10 of them yesterday.
All right, PETA. Some people think it's too controversial.
Oh,
tell me about that, Danny.
Well, it is. I mean, like I mentioned before, the people who are rabble rousers in their era are considered a pain in the ass, and that would make PETA a royal pain. But what we do is we try to focus attention on what's happening to animals. When people find out that KFC drops live birds into scalding water to defeather them, they realize that it's something that needs some attention. And PETA has gone undercover inside all sorts of slaughterhouses and laboratories and circuses and fur farms. And what we find is really appalling. There are these places that violate federal guidelines.
Federal guidelines for chickens either, right? I mean, KFC is the worst. That's why you have to boycott KFC.
Chickens were actually excluded from the Humane Slaughter Act when that was passed a few decades ago. So as a result, these companies just will do anything to these animals. Chickens are get the worst of it.
And they break their necks. They feed them so much, their legs snap. They live in cages where they peck at each other. They de-beak them in boiling, scalding water. It's just really cruel. It's just so you don't want to have any part of that. So,
and our whole campaign is not trying to get KFC to use fried tofu instead. It's to get them to eliminate the cruelest practices. And, we had a big victory with McDonald's. We got them to stop buying meat from slaughterhouses that failed inspection. We just got Burger King to adapt much more humane slaughter practices where they don't buy pork from places that confine pregnant pigs on concrete for their whole pregnancy. And we're about, eliminating some of the most hideous cruelties. And I think even if you're not a vegetarian or even if you hate some of the activities you've seen, you
should still buy the book.
Yeah.
Because the book is funny. I mean, the book is his like, going across the world and with people like me and a bunch of other crazy people and people who love animals and just the funny times we've had. I mean, it's really funny and how he grew up and his relationship with his mom. And
there's a lot of costumes in it, too. I've dressed as a priest
I
to crash it for a fashion
show. You wheezed your way in
carrot.
There. Huh?
Yeah. The thing is, it's great to wear a costume because it gives you something to hide behind. When I tried to get into these fur fashion shows in Milan, wearing a priest outfit worked a charm, and I had my Thou Shalt Not Kill banner, and I got yanked out by a whole bunch of security, but the point was made. And my travels to Paris and to Milan and to Vienna with Pamela are well documented in the book as well.
Very well documented.
You can read all about our steamy exploits. She calls me her gay husband because when she's between guys, I'm the one who she can rely on and drag around.
Yeah. You're the pal. Okay,
I'm still with you.
If you two are out and you see somebody in a fur coat, what do you do? Do you jump that person or do you go talk to them? What do you do?
You get sued if you jump them. What do you do? You stick a little thing in their pocket that says, I'm an asshole, I wear fur?
Yeah, we have these stickers that do all the talking for you. It depends on what the person's like. I try to engage people and ask if they know how the animals were killed. And when they find out that beavers are drowned in underwater traps and chinchillas are electrocuted.
Anally
electrocuted. And in China now, the animals are literally skinned alive.
For a
fashion item that makes you look like Bigfoot. You know, adds 20 years and adds 20 pounds.
Makes you look fat.
Why has this been out of control? Why does it have to take PETA to get people to understand that if they're going to conduct business, that you have to do it as humanely, or should I say as animally as possible?
Yeah, there's always a kinder way to do things. And, we have to act up a lot because the adversaries that we have, these corporations, they don't really care about the animals. They care about their public image and money. So we have to be as ruthless as they are. And we're a pressure group. If we wanted to be popular, we'd be doomed to failure. So we have to make these companies shake a little in their boots and wonder what we're going to do. We buy stock in these companies. We speak at their shareholder meetings. We do undercover investigations. And we do a lot of celebrity ads to get the message out as well, because a lot of people are so interested in that.
Are they sensitive once you start to talk with them?
There are individuals in the companies that are sensitive, but by and large, they just care about how much money they can make. And if they can cram five chickens in a cage and rip their beaks off because they go crazy from confinement, but save a nickel, they'll do it. unless there's going to be some price to pay by having PETA on their back or having Pamela Anderson narrate.
Right.
Pamela actually narrated our KFC video.
Oh, yeah. I've seen it.
Go to KFCCruelty.com and you can check out Pam's KFC video and learn what we're talking about even more.
Well, Pam, this happened for you a long time ago. I mean, you decided to put a little bit back into society. You wanted an organization that you could get involved with, and you were always involved in loving animals. You found PETA.
Well, I mean, I was getting so much attention. I started in Baywatch, and I started getting so much attention for, I thought, really silly things. And I thought, God, this is an opportunity to really speak up and say something. I mean, they're you know, asking me all these crazy questions. So I wrote to PETA and said, please use me in any way I can. I feel ridiculous talking about my boyfriends or my boobs. I really want to talk about animals and animal rights, and I can slip anything into any interview that I can. And I have. I think almost every interview I've done, eventually somewhere in it, there's something about animal rights.
She's really redefined what a celebrity can do for a cause.
And did they take that request right away, or did they have to think about it? Now, I'm talking about PETA now.
Well, I mean, PETA. I don't know.
Yeah, well, we just got a letter one day. This is what's so great about Pam. A lot of stars have these big management and publicists and all this stuff. We just opened the mail one day about 12 years ago, and there was a letter. The return address said Mrs. Happy, if I recall correctly.
I love that.
And we just opened it, and it said, "Dear PETA, I'm in a show called Baywatch, and the press is obsessed with my private life. I want to divert the attention to things more important, such as animal cruelty. Let's join forces." And so we hooked up, and Pam first did our Rather Go Naked Than Wear Fur ad, which was our first billboard in Times Square. And then we just started hooking up and traveling.
He was always a mysterious date. I need another ticket for my date, Dan Matthews. We started getting in trouble for that, though, because soon people found out, and they were worried that we were going to cause problems at different events, like the Opera Ball, and we didn't, of course. You know, we pick and choose our places where we get in trouble, but that wouldn't be one.
I got an email today, Pam, from one of our millions of listeners, and they said, you know what? She's, over everything else that she's done in her career, she's a nice person. And she's got guts to stick your neck out for something you believe in. There aren't a lot of people that do that nowadays.
I mean, I'm not, you know, this isn't a, I mean, I have no calculation. I'm not trying to, you know, for my career or anything. I just think this is a great opportunity to help people, help animals, help, I don't know, that sounds kind of silly, but it's true. I mean, now I feel like I've you know, had a meaningful time in, you know, in here in Hollywood. And it's really easy to not have a meaningful time. I mean, it's a bunch of, you know, whatever. Sure. So it's really given me a really, it's like to have the great times that we've had and to be able to make, have the accomplishments that we've seen. And it's just been really rewarding because you really can have such a great time and such a, I mean, you're just blessed when you do good things.
Yeah, I think a lot of it, and that's what I try to talk about in the book as well. People think that you have to give something up when you get involved in a cause. It actually helps your character and you get a lot out of it. Not only is it good for animals and you know, realize that you can have a great life without killing things, but it just it makes things more fulfilling to be involved in something, and Pamela shows that all the time. And I think a lot of people, I know a lot of people who give up on the world because they can't lighten up. And I've been with PETA now for 22 years, and I'll be there forever. And we get a lot done, but we also have a lot of fun. One of the most fun things is doing the Rather Go Naked Than Wear Fur protests in the streets. And, you know, not everybody wants to look at a picture of a mutilated animal. And how PETA has redefined things is by, well, let's take off our clothes and have a Rather Go Naked Than Wear Fur sign.
That's how you talk about that in the book, too.
I love animals, Dan, but I'm not sure you're going to get me to do that.
Oh, come on.
Well, everybody looks better naked.
Not everybody, Pamela.
You haven't lived until you've been arrested everybody. Naked.
It's... Now, yeah. Pam, you're a vegetarian, right?
Yes.
Dan, are you?
Oh, God, yeah, I'm vegan.
Okay. And I have to admit, I'm not, but I've watched what I eat, and I start doing that for
health
reasons.
You just gotta do the best you can, and obviously being a vegetarian is a healthier way to live, but you do the best you can. I always say, people always say, if I still eat fish or I still eat this, it's like, well, you know, you're doing the best you can. You know, slowly that just goes out of your diet. I mean, we're raised.
And
I was
evolving.
Raised on meat and potatoes.
Burger King has veggie burgers. It's really evolving a lot. It used to be when you said you were vegan, people thought you were from Las Vegas, and now it's really changed.
Or
really
on this show. Up there in the universe somewhere,
yeah.
Right? The push, Pam, I want to talk to you a little bit about your career as well, because it kind of matches what you do with PETA. Did you ever imagine the success you would have? I have always been fascinated by people who are successful.
You think I'm successful?
Yeah, oh, absolutely. Dan, is she?
I don't know.
In many, many, many ways.
I'm successful in the ways I want to be successful in, I guess. So that is success.
Did you dream this to happen?
No. Well, I know. I knew I'd always do something, you know, interesting, and I'd have a great, fun life, and I kind of go with the flow and go where life leads me, and this is one of those things, and this is what I'm most proud of, is all the work I've been able to do for animals. I mean, my mom always says, you know, there's kids, and there's this, and there's, you know, there's so many other charities. I said, yeah, but Mom, I love animals. I've started, you know, with animals, and I've done a lot of work for children's charities and for the environment and for, you know, every other kind of charity as well. But this is one where I've actually done things and seen the results, seen laws changed, seen people change. And over the, you know, last 15 years that I've been here, I've seen so much progress. And I know that everything PETA does works. And so it's been really rewarding to be involved with them, and probably more rewarding than anything I've ever done besides, you know, having kids.
if someone has never been, I guess, a pet owner or a lover of animals, they don't understand the true pain that an animal goes through. Just because it can't communicate with us, and by that I mean speak to us, I mean they go through things. I mean,
well, we all have much more in common with all animals than we have differences. We all have a pair of eyes, a beating heart, a brain, a central nervous system. The only thing we lack is some direct communication, but the animals can communicate with each other, and we're learning so much more now about how elephants have this fascinating mourning ritual. They actually go back to visit the bones of their dead relatives every year. Animals are fascinating. Octopuses even decorate their dens underwater just for fun. So it's just, people think that animals are machines sometimes, but they have a soul, they have a spirit. They're the aliens that everybody's waiting to land. They're already here. They're all around us, and they.
Yeah, buy his book now. See, he's going. Yeah.
No, we just have to see animals as our neighbors on the planet, and just be better neighbors.
I can't imagine just looking at something so innocent and then shooting it. That's what I mean. With my dad, he hunted when I was young, and I was like, that just says something about you. I could never be with someone who hunted. I mean, look at you looking at this beautiful deer, and they're looking at you, and you take out this huge gun and shoot it. What does that do for you? What does that possibly do for you? It's disgusting. It's just the worst. I don't know. That was really the first thing that really struck me too, as animal rights. I got everyone to stop hunting.
Even, you know, I got into this through fishing. I used to go fishing all the time with my dad, and I did enjoy it when I was, 9, 10, 11 years old. And I enjoyed it because I would put my finger on this line and I would feel this creature struggling at the other end of this line, and I was in control and I could play it a little bit, and they would run and I'd get them back. And then you realize that you're kind of getting your rocks off at somebody else's expense.
Like a bully. You're like
really
a bully.
Enjoying the misery of this other creature. And it's about 14 when I decided that was just not for me. And love my dad, and we have a great relationship. But I think a lot of people, just especially as kids, they grow up thinking that that this is, you know, a good way to spend time, and it's fun, but it's abuse, and it's a springboard to having.
How can people think any further than the game? You know, a lot of times people don't think any further than the coat when they're wearing a fur coat. They don't think of what goes into it. And when they're hunting, they're with their dad. They're trying to make everyone happy. They're not even thinking about this is another creature, another living being, and they don't think any further than that. So that's why I think it's great to bring awareness to these things, because there are kids out there going, you know, I don't want to hunt with my dad, or I don't want to wear that fur coat, because, you know, I remember I had a conversation or a debate with someone on The View who wore a fur coat, and I remember said it takes 200 chinchillas to make a coat, anally electrocuted, and it's, you know, horrible. And she goes, Pamela, you better get your facts straight, because it only took 80 to make my coat. And I said, well, you know what, you just buried yourself.
And the thing is also, it's a sentiment. I mean, my degree's in history, and it's a sentiment that has been around for thousands of years. I lived in Rome, and I talk about this in the book as well, and studied Pythagoras and Plutarch and these amazing ancient Greek and Roman philosophers who wrote very eloquently about why we should not eat animals and why we should not kill animals. And in fact, here in this country, in Philadelphia, in the early 1700s, there was this little dwarf named Benjamin Lay who hated the idea that animals were the gnome.
Yeah.
He hated the ideas that people, that animals were killed for meat and for their skins, and the fact that people were supposedly religious but had slaves. And he would rant and rave, and he got Benjamin Franklin to actually publish some of his tirades. And that's who I dedicate my book to, is this little guy. And there's been people around forever who've talked about this. And finally, now it's becoming mainstream, largely with the help of Pamela pushing this into the media and into people's homes through our website at PETA.org. And it's just
go to Amazon.com. Get committed.
You want to stay for another 20 minutes or so?
Oh,
20
sure.
minutes.
Huh?
Why not?
Yeah, you can do that. You can do that. We'll talk about the book.
What happened?
Committed.
Your guest didn't come.
No, you are the guest.
Committed by Dan Matthews.
I'm going to ask you about Borat.
C-O-M-M. What?
I want to know if that was a setup or if you didn't expect that to happen. You got to
make
tell
you a fur coat.
No, I don't wear fur. I'll be back in a moment with Dan Matthews, Pamela Anderson, in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Don't go away. Well, it sure is with our two guests this hour, Dan Matthews, his book called Committed, and Pamela Anderson. We'll be back with both of them in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast. I'm George Norton with Pam Anderson and Dan Matthews. Hey, Pam, not a lot of talk show hosts I can get you to stay an hour on a show, huh?
Only for PETA.
Only for PETA. Dan, the book, Committed. Tell me about the name, Committed.
Well, the title chapter is Committed, and it's from when I was not only arrested in Paris, but sent to the psychiatric ward and chained to a pole where I had to wait for a doctor and prove my sanity in French, which I speak about as well as Paris Hilton speaks English. And so it was because we did this protest against KFC, which we talked about earlier, and the French thought it was insane that an American would fly all the way to Paris, not to go to the museums, but to agitate for chickens and risk arrest. So it was interesting. And while I was chained to this pole for hours, I had to stumble down memory lane and thought of all the times in my life since I was a kid. People said I was crazy and wondered if I would actually get committed to the loony bin or not. And
all my best friends have been in an insane asylum.
Clinically crackers.
Clinically crackers.
That's amazing.
But it was great because at the end of the day, this doctor came in and I, in pidgin French, explained why I was there and about what, defending animals. And the doctor said, you're not only sane, but you're a good citizen. And I still have the little certificate, so I can always hold it up in case anybody doubts my sanity.
They actually could have kept you away for a while?
Well, I kind of was hoping that would happen because I couldn't wait to see what would happen next. I've always seen life as a big black comedy, and that's why I write. And I just love finding yourself in a position that you would never imagine yourself in. Because it's just, it's kind of exciting. And that's what happens when I travel with Pamela a lot as well.
Yeah, what's going to happen next?
If you two had a wish with regards to what you do for PETA, what would that be? Pam, you first.
Me first.
You first.
Just to think first before you, I think you can do everything a little more consciously than you do, you know, eating or with choosing fashion or just being a better person in general. And that's what I try and teach my kids. And I think that's what awareness I've been able to bring to people is just maybe to just awareness, just be more aware of the choices that you make.
When you go out to dinner with people, do they order meat or chicken in front of you?
Oh, yeah. No, yeah, of course. Yeah. I mean, I'm not.
They feel guilty?
No, I don't think so. I don't think so. I mean, it's just I'm not, you know, constantly preaching to people. I feel like I get to, do what I do. And it's not.
We went to Monte Carlo Pam was the guest of honor at this dinner for Prince Albert. And nobody could, because of the rules there, the conduct, nobody could eat until Pamela, the guest of honor, started. And it was about midnight. And at the table, everybody was waiting for her to tuck in. And they brought her this plate full of, God, it was like the Noah's Ark platter. I think there were two of each species. Yeah. And Pam said that she was vegetarian and could they please bring something else? So they had to make this special plate and everyone had to wait. And she started explaining how we could sew the pieces back together to show how it was once a cow. But she did it very, very sweetly. And everybody thought about it in a different way afterward.
All right. How about
you? We changed a few minds there.
What's your wish here?
I wish.
You've been doing this for what, 20 some years now?
Yeah. Well, since I was a kid, I mean, I grew up in a real white trash rundown apartment complex where the kids would have fun in the alleys by crushing cats' heads in the dumpster lids.
Oh my God.
And the animals weren't even allowed in our apartment, but my mom instructed me and my brothers to bring in all the cats, all the strays. I didn't even know there was such a thing as an animal shelter because we had so many animals around the neighborhood to tend to that we would take in and get spayed and neutered and look after. I also used to get beat up a lot as a kid because I was gay, and the same kids that would beat me up were the ones that were mutilating the cats in the alleys. So to me, it became very clear early on that cruelty is cruelty, and the same ignorance that makes people react violently to things is the same no matter whether they're beating their wife or their kids or animals. And so I guess I think that humane education is the best thing because kids have a great sense of justice. You know, as we get older, we get a little selfish and we stop thinking about how things are right or wrong. And kids have a great sense of justice. And so I would like to see more humane education programs in schools so that kids grow up with a lot more information about all these things and can make educated choices if they want to eat meat. One of the more fun things in the book was when I dressed as a carrot to go to elementary schools in the Midwest to promote vegetarianism, mm-hmm. because the USDA was handing out coloring books to kids that said animals are the star players on farms teams and they weren't telling kids that they have their teeth ground down so that they don't mutilate each other because they're kept in such close confinement and all these other things. So we developed this mascot named Crispy Carrot who would hand out leaflets that told what really went on. And because it was partially my idea, I had to be the first carrot. And these gigantic pig farmers came and gave out luncheon meat to the kids to throw at me outside of school, which was a very bizarre experience. And it made me reflect on the fact that I have been beat up at school for being both a fruit and a vegetable.
Yes. Does PETA get involved in trying to convince the USDA and the FDA about mad cow disease?
Yeah, we get involved in all of the animal issues, and especially with regards to places that are violating
USDA,
these laws.
USDA, by the way.
U.S. Department of Agriculture.
I turned you into an earthquake.
Well, we get calls from a guy in Philadelphia or outside of Philly who worked in a slaughterhouse, who appealed to the USDA, appealed to the slaughterhouse inspector to help him out, because his job was to chop off the cow's hooves and lips when they were on the slaughter floor upside down on a conveyor belt, so that they could be taken into the room where they are skinned for their leather. But they were supposed to be stunned. They were supposed to be unconscious. And this guy would chop off one of their hooves, and another would come around and kick him in the face because they were still fully conscious. And when he complained to the USDA and to the plant about it, they said, get back to work. We have a quota. So this really brave guy calls PETA. That's how I spent my 25th birthday, actually, was with him to document these things and make a case, which we then released. And
so he had undercover cameras?
Undercover cameras that he got us into. So this guy called us and said, I'm not a vegetarian. I'm not a PETA member, but I have made calls. They have fallen on deaf ears. Can PETA help me out? And we went in and busted the place and exposed it to the government and to the media.
You definitely call PETA if you witness any.
Yeah, this is a very important thing. If there's any whistleblowers, anybody who works in a slaughterhouse or a laboratory,
do undercover cameras.
Email me. My email address is Dan.
And you go to work for
PETA.org. Yeah, we need people that are whistleblowers in these places. Even if you're a janitor, if you're a caretaker.
What about somebody though who thinks that a animal breeder of dogs or cats is abusing them? Same thing. Or do you go to the Humane Society for something like that?
Well, PETA can always direct you, too. It's a good call to make, though.
Yeah, absolutely. If you suspect any animal abuse, check out our website or give us a call, and we will either direct you to the right places or investigate it ourselves.
When I was a little boy, in our backyard behind our house was a small anthill. And I would wake up in the morning, and I would crush the ants. And I'd pound on them, and I'd step on them. And, you know, because I obliterated their home. And then the next morning, it was built back up again. And it didn't take me too long to understand that whatever I was doing before was not the right thing. And it changed my whole approach to not only that, but to just about everything else I started doing in my life. I mean, I started thinking of these ants as little tiny people who might have had brains bigger than us.
And they're the strongest.
Yeah, I mean, it's amazing what they do. And I'm not a fan of mosquitoes, I'll tell you that. But it does change you when you start to think and really think about what it is out there.
Yeah, absolutely.
Shift consciousness.
I think a lot of kids have these experiences where they're kind of feeling these things out, and that's why I said earlier I wish there was more humane education so that they weren't just looked at and thought, oh well, boys will be boys, but rather. You know, not so much stepping on bugs. I certainly did my fair share of that. Used to put cockroaches in my pockets and smash them down just for fun. I mean, when kids are young, they don't think about these things.
People are becoming much more aware, though. I know in my kids' elementary school, we have a great principal, and she talks a lot about global warming and a lot about animal issues and marine life. We have a marine science education program, and my kids ask questions all the time, and they know I'm in PETA, but they're learning a lot in school as well. We're getting a much more conscious children.
Absolutely. Has the movie industry, Pamela, changed much in the old days with its approach to using animals in films?
Well, I know I won't work on a film with an animal. I'm doing a magic show coming up in actually Vegas.
In Vegas, right, yeah.
Yeah, and part of the deal was, of course, that he can't he, I was hoping, I said, you don't work with animals. And he actually said he was appalled at how animals are treated in the whole, with the magic shows and stuff he's gone through. He said he was just he's so sympathetic towards that. And he was so happy that I was getting involved with him too, because he feels the same way. And he's witnessed a lot over his career in Europe.
Is Hollywood changing too? I mean, are they more aware?
Well, we do a lot of letters, and we talk about these.
Yeah, the problem in Hollywood is that there's an organization that's supposed to monitor animal treatment on the sets, mm-hmm. but they don't see a lot of things, and they approve a lot of use of, especially chimpanzees, who are not natural performers. The only way chimpanzees perform in commercials or in movies is by being taken away from their mothers shortly after they're born and taught to rely on these human trainers who use food deprivation or shocks, and that's how they get them to perform. But once they reach their sexual maturity at age 7 or 8, they become unruly and they'd rip your arm off. So
that's when they send them into experimentation places a lot.
Roadside zoos and other horrible places. And so we have a big campaign. Angelica Houston, in fact, Angelica Houston just narrated our new video at PETAtv.com all about the abuse of chimps in movies.
What about corporations that have been using animals for shampoo testing and makeup testing?
There's no animal test that's ever helped a human. That's an animal. We're human.
And the reason they do these tests for these products is not to try to protect humans, but to try to satisfy government requirements for safety.
For insurance purposes.
For insurance. It's these...
Really?
These animal tests that were created by the FDA in the 1930s and 40s are still in use today when we've evolved much more scientifically.
Or the same test 10 years later, they'll still snap, 40 beagles' legs for osteoporosis, but they'll do it again so they have updated information. So they have updated information for their insurance purposes.
And, one of the things PETA does is we fund studies so that there are comparable studies, for instance, in Europe, where they've replaced animal tests and the governments there no longer require animal testing.
Right.
Yet in Japan, they may require it, or in Australia, or in the U.S. And so these companies will do the same thing time after time. The test Pam just referred to was they were testing a drug that would help your bones, an ointment that would help your bones heal more quickly after surgery. And so to test it, they actually broke the legs of 20 beagles and had plans to do it time after time to satisfy the government requirements in different countries. And we were able to stop it, and we were able to save the beagles. And we have been working with governments around the world and international standards so that these guidelines are streamlined and that these animal tests are not duplicated time and time again. And it's
and different countries have different rules, right? Like in China, there's really no regulation for people. The fashion industry buys a lot of their stuff from China because they don't have any regulation. It's a lot cheaper. And so one of the things we think, if you're going to buy leather, don't buy leather, but if you do, definitely don't get the ones from China. We stop the Gap, right? You stop the Gap?
Yeah, the Gap used to buy their leather from India, where cows are actually protected by laws like dogs are here. But because of a black market in India, they would march these cows across borders and rub chili peppers in their eyes and break their tails to keep them walking, just so that the Gap could have some cheap leather to sell. And Pamela posted our video expose of all this, which is also at PETAtv.com. And we were able to bring enough pressure on the Gap to stop buying leather from India and to even get laws changed over there. Actually, the laws exist, but to get the laws enforced.
I mean, PETA gets things done real quickly. I mean, it's like the squeaky wheel gets the grease. I mean, you keep on asking, and like everyone, Calvin Klein, you sat him down and showed him the video. He stopped using fur. I mean, it's just they have to be involved, because when they ask and people see the cruelty that goes into it, they have to stop, because so disgusting.
Do they do it, Pam, because it's the right thing to do, or because they're afraid that the publicity is going to be so bad they might lose sales?
Who cares? As long as they stop doing it.
It's both. I mean, Tommy Hilfiger is a more recent example. I actually met him at Pamela's wedding last summer. Huh. And
that's why I did it.
And he hadn't really thought about the fur issue too much. And we chit-chatted and exchanged emails and sent him our video expose. He stopped using fur altogether. We got Ralph Lauren this year to stop using fur. And he even took the zebra hides out of their stores, which were there for decoration. So I think people just haven't thought about it, and when you bring it to their attention, Pamela has been an angel, because she introduces us to people at these events all the time.
I say just follow up the rear. We're going in.
Hey, that can mean a
few different things. I know, and I'm, you definitely, yes, exactly.
And you've got Sir Paul McCartney behind you, too.
Right? Absolutely, absolutely. He was one of our, him and Linda were two of our founding members, and we've got a lot of great celebrities that support us. Pink, Bill Maher, Andy Dick.
Alicia Silverstone.
Alicia Silverstone does a lot of stuff for us. Simon Cowell from American Idol has hosted videos for us and has made appeals on our behalf. Charlize Theron hosted our video.
Kim Basinger.
And if you go to PETAtv.com, you can see all of these different videos and learn all about these issues. And that's the first thing to do is educate yourself and then make up your own mind.
Why, in some cases, do people who don't understand what PETA is and what it represents thinks that you're a militant organization?
Read Dan's book.
No, I understand it. I don't blame people who roll their eyes at the things
sometimes.
We do. We live in such apathetic times that I think when anybody sticks their neck out and speaks up for something, they're considered a pain. And that's just the price we pay because we stick our necks out a lot. But I think that, you know, we, like I mentioned before, we are a pressure group. We want these companies to take us seriously, and they don't take things seriously just based on compassion. You have to kind of rough them up a bit, and we have to be as ruthless as our adversaries to get things done. And we didn't expect to become a large organization. We have 1.6 million members now around the world, and we're always amazed
that
people
volunteer.
All these kids, we're always amazed when our membership continues to grow despite the things that we do.
I mean, it has to be an extreme group so you can have a middle ground so people can feel safe enough to make those small contributions, because that PETA, you know, makes such extreme contributions as well.
And if people want to join other groups that aren't as aggressive, I think that's great. You know, we're not for everybody. We're kind of like the rock and roll charity. You know, we may not be the ones that you want to bring home to mother at Thanksgiving, but we do get things done.
Oh, it depends on what you're having for Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
Yeah, but they really get things done. That's why I'm so, you know, I love them so much, and we do so much together, because I know everything we do is gonna make a difference. And, you know, you choose where you put your time, and it works.
And we also have fun. You know, we do a lot of campaigns.
We've had the wildest time. I mean, we've had the greatest times. We're doing good things, and we're having a good time. And we've had some funny times.
Exactly. And that's the book is about trying to find... The book is about trying to find the balance between fighting for a cause and also having some fun, and there's a lot
Did
of fun.
Did you really wear a priest's outfit and go into a Hooters, Dan?
I love Hooters.
Yes, Hooters. Fried pickles.
Hooters is like a drag bar, but with real girls. I love it there. Yeah, I mean, I try not to sequester myself. I mean, I'm vegetarian, but I don't only hang around with vegetarians. I'm gay, but I don't only hang around with gay people. I think there's so many interesting things in life to pursue and to explore, and I've always been against ghettoizing yourself too much. I don't go to veggie restaurants that much. I go to steakhouses and get
salad.
Baked potato with A1 sauce is fine by me. And I have friends from all different persuasions, who, some of whom agree with me, others who don't. I think it's a thrill in life to evolve from a contrary influence. And I always hope that I will. And I think other people like that as well.
And life is short. You want to have some meaning and some fun and yeah.
Well, you both speak out for creatures that don't have a say-so for themselves.
Right.
And that's admirable. And, you know, getting the word out and educating people is so important as well. It's a great book, Daniel, Committed.
Well,
and,
thank you very much.
It's
and he
obvious.
He wrote it all by himself.
Yeah, it took a long time. But
see, I had a partner when I wrote my book, because I couldn't write mine without a guy who really understood what he was doing. And
I had a ghostwriter, but I wasn't supposed to tell anybody.
Well, see, I just for me, it was important that it be funny, because, you know, the first article I wrote was about my favorite jails, and so it carries on in that same spirit.
Pam, ghostwriters on this show we interview ghosts on this program.
Oh, you do?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, boy.
They are here all the time. Look, I only got about a minute left.
Ghost to ghost.
Where do we get the book?
Well, you can go to Amazon.com and order Committed. There's a whole bunch of reader reviews that I noticed earlier, which are thrilling. And like I mentioned, it was the People Magazine Buzz Book of the Week, and it's been getting rave reviews from the Washington Post. It's a romp. It's an adventure, and it might open your mind to a few different things. And I think
it doesn't minimize the importance of animal rights as well, even though we're sitting here saying we have a good time. I mean, Dan is very well educated. He could be doing anything. He could be anything he wanted to be, and he lives with a little plastic suitcase and his little vinyl shoes in the closet of somebody in different, someone different.
Shoes.
His little, well, his big vinyl, sorry, 13s. His
size
big vinyl shoes.
Vinyl shoes.
Yeah, thank God he doesn't wear leather. So he lives in the suitcase. He lives in this, you know, little closets of people. He's just really, really humble and very sweet. And he's, you know, but it doesn't minimize the importance of animal rights. He just is trying to show that you can have a good time and have a meaningful life as well.
Okay, and you have a book signing in Miami where we're number one on WIOD. So
great. Everybody in Miami, I have a book signing on Wednesday night at in Coral Gables. And I can't remember the
books
name of the
books.
Books and Books. That's
you
it.
You do the one in the bunny suit?
Books and Books.
So come and let's chit-chat. Throw a tomato. Let's talk. We'll have a drink. It'll be fun.
All right, good. Hey, Pam.
Thanks.
Borat, did they know? Did you know or not?
I have to.
When he ambushed you.
Slaughter you.
You won't tell me. You won't tell me.
Oh, is it insulting to think that I can't pull that off?
No, you pulled it off well.
Okay. I pulled it off.
I just need to know.
Yeah, well, I'll leave it up to the imagination.
We'll be back in a moment.
Of course I knew.